time with background noise out on Jefferson and up there. So you can imagine it would be like at night, and we're talking about areas of over 100 feet from the alignment. And so these are the things that we want to try to get squared away if it possibly can before they start regular running. And to me, I don't know why the Expo want to wait until the revenue to try to take care of these problems. That's been my experience in engineering throughout the years, that you test so that you can make these changes before you go into the final product, because it can be very, very expensive if you wait till the last minute to do that. And so these are the things that we would like to see take place as early as possibly can, is do some mitigation so that we won't be a problem with this as we move along. One of the things that I have always questioned on this particular project has been the number of engineering change orders that this project has come up with. And I don't see why there are so many, and no one here on the board even asked why, even asked a question of why engineering change orders needed in some cases. Sometimes they are just written because of anticipation of something or to cover up something, but it's just been too many of them as far as I'm concerned. Another problem that we do have in terms of last month, I was here, you asked me, had they been out to talk to us about the design around the bridge there at La Brea and some of the other areas? Yes. About 7 weeks ago they were out, but we haven't heard anything else from them at that time, so I don't know if it was just to applaud to say we're doing something and then end up doing nothing at all. So I'd like to just get right straight to the core of stuff instead of beating around the bushes with it. So if you guys are going to do something, it's time for us to at least talk to the people who will be doing the design. Well, speaking of the cul-de-sac down near Dunsmuir and the barricade area up there at La Brea itself, and the wall itself, the so-called sound wall, there should be something up there because it is extremely loud as the train passed by. And these are some of the problems that we have called out during the ERR phase, that we anticipated the noise from the train as it traversed on the alignment. It seems as though no one seemed to be taken into consideration as to doing anything about it at all. I hopefully that coming to this board that someone will recognize what we're saying and give some kind of consideration to that. Don't wait till last minute and say, well, it's too late now, we have to go with the train. But it's been brought out time and time again.
Okay, are you planning to follow this up with Mr. Simmons?
Yeah, we have exchanged emails. As soon as our testing, we don't want to hold up our contractor anymore from the testing. As soon as the testing is done, hopefully by the end of next week, we'll be Metro will start running trains out there. And when we start running trains, we'll get our sound consultant out there.
Okay. Well, why don't you give us a report on that at the next meeting, because you'll have several weeks of experience with this.
Well, one of the problems, if I holler here at A, and my voice measures, let's say, 60 dB, it will also measure the same thing tomorrow if I holler at the same volume. So it makes no difference when it happens. We want to get to the problem and get it squared away as soon as we possibly can.
Okay, well, he's...
Because I can see some problems existing now that...
he's committed to getting, because the testing is over, which will be in a matter of days, to follow this up. On the issue of change orders, speaking for myself, and everybody else can speak for themselves, each of us gets briefed, either directly or through our staffs, on every item on the agenda. I get briefed personally on this every month, and every change order is questioned and has to be justified for all of us. And it may be that we don't ask questions here because we've already had the answers, which is unfair to you because you don't get the same briefing, but maybe in the course of description of these agenda items, you can, and I know you do give us a explanation of what the change order is about, but I don't think you should interpret a lack of questioning, lack of interest, or lack of information on our part about what's going on.
Yes,
but I can understand why you would come to that conclusion, because you don't have any idea what goes on before the meeting. And
the Brown Act states that these things should be in public.
Oh, they are in public, and I'd like to get as much of that information as possible. But I think your comment to us was that we never ask any questions about
it.
That's
right. No,
I don't think you
did ask one question back in 2007. Nobody else has ever asked it on his board, and I brought that out at the time.
So in a world of blind men, the one-eyed person is king, right? I asked one question, and I'm...
Yes, you did.
I'm the winner.
Yeah. It was in August of 2007, and I commented on that when you were sitting right over there.
All right. I appreciate it.
So what I'm saying is that I would like to know, and I'm sure as a taxpayer, of why we have so many change orders.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. I don't know. Well, as you said, y'all getting briefings, but be like,
all right. Fair enough.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak.
No problem. Anytime. Anybody else want to be heard under public comment? I have no other cards with that. Public comment is closed. Let's go on to the rest of the agenda, item 5, consent calendar. Is there anybody who wants to pull anything from the consent calendar?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to recuse myself from item 5C.
On item 5C, so let's hold that. And on item 5A, B, and D, moved by O'Connor, seconded by Parks. Without objection, unanimous vote. On item C, it's moved by O'Connor, seconded by O'Leary, with one abstention. Everyone else voting aye, it's approved. Assume we have enough. Yeah, we do. Okay. That takes care of the consent calendar. Were you conflicted on it?
Yes.
Okay, so then you shouldn't abstain. You should just not vote. So we'll just record him as not voting. Okay, sorry about that. Item 6.
Item 6A, Phase 1, Jacobs Engineering Contract Amendment.
Yes, this item deals with staff support services. As you're aware, Expo staff itself is a very small organization. We rely heavily on consultant support services. This item before you today is to extend the term and provide additional funding for Jacobs Engineering, who is doing our program management for us. The primary reason for this is the delay in the delivery of the project. We had anticipated that the substantial completion would have been met last June. It hasn't been. We still need support services out there. We have taken a very careful look. We still need about 24 staff from Jacobs to complete the project, and we've estimated the cost of that at about $1.1 million. What that would do then would take staffing out through the end of the fiscal year, which is what we think will be necessary to complete the project. And so we would recommend that you approve this contract amendment.
Okay. Any questions?
Rick, I just wondering, could you give us in the future the balance of that reserve so we can keep track of that?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Not.
Motion?
Second.
Moved by O'Connor, seconded by Rosenfeld without objection. Please vote.
Item 6B, Phase 1, BB 2, is early completion incentive.
Yes, this item, as you may be, as you are aware, we added the Venice Robertson aerial structure was supposed to be built in Phase 2. We were able to accelerate it and move it into Phase 1, but by doing so, we added it very late, and it was always going to trail the rest of the project completion. And efforts to try to minimize the difference in time between the time we're ready to go to La Cienega versus all the way to Culver City, we inserted an incentive bonus to the contract for early completion. We put in there up to 90 days. We would pay $10,000 a day up to 90 days for early completion. The contractor was able to obtain about 30 days of advanced completion, and therefore we're recommending that the board authorize the payment of $300,000, which equates to the 30 days early completion. That being said, the contractor continues to progress, and again looks like we'll be able to open up early 2012 the rest of the way to Culver City.
Okay. I think it's a good idea. Comments? Questions?
Right. We should note and laud early performance. We hear about it when we're late.
Okay. Was there a motion to approve it? Rosenfeld moves.
Second.
Second. By O'Leary, without objection, unanimous vote.
Item 6C, Phase 1 Design Change Orders and PCOs.
Yeah, this item deals with the start of what we call closeout activities. These are various design change orders that have happened over the course of the project. There are 39 of them. Normally we take them one at a time, but rather than take them one at a time because of the total amount, we thought we would bring them to this board and the board's attention. These design change orders, various changes to the project, throughout the project, again, there were 39 of them. They've actually been, we've broken them into two areas. One are the areas in which we have reached an agreement on the amount with the contractor. That's nine of them, totaling about $1.3 million. The remainder of the $2 million is what we believe is a fair and reasonable amount to pay the contractor for those changes. We brought in three different people to evaluate these particular changes. All three were very close to each other and what they felt the cost was. Contractor believes it's significantly more. And what we're recommending is that we pay the contractor what we believe is the fair and reasonable price. It will then be up to the contractor as to whether they want to pursue, accept the dollar amount that we're recommending, or whether they want to pursue through dispute resolution, claims process, any additional compensation, but this is what we believe is fair and reasonable and is within the budget.
Okay. Questions, comments? Bernie?
I have to
recuse yourself. Okay. Any other comments? Okay. With Director Parks recusing himself, motion by O'Connor, seconded by Rosenfeld. And without objection, unanimous vote.
Item 6D, Phase 1, Los Angeles Department of Water and Power closeout payment.
Yes, this is, again, part of our closeout activities. We have a lot of power relocations that were required as part of this project. Normally, LADWP does the design, conduit installation, wire pulling, all themselves. They did a lot of that work by themselves on the project, but in certain cases it was more expeditious for our contractor to do it, and so we paid our contractor to do portions of it. And then there were also portions of the work that, regardless of whether we did it or the BWP did it, the cost were supposed to be paid for by DWP because they were in our Metro's right-of-way under a franchise agreement, which required them to relocate their utilities. So we have been working over the last 3 months and trying to reconcile all of the costs, our costs, their costs, and how much they owed as part of their work. We've reached an agreement on that. The cost came in under what we had budgeted, and the cost is about $3.4 million, actually. $3,372,422. This would then close out all of the issues relative to DWP, other than some minor work that we still have to do that is within budget. But this closes out all of our issues, or not really issues, but the reconciliation process that we went through.
Any comments, questions? If not, Director Parks will move. Director O'Leary seconds without objection. Unanimous vote.
Item 6E, Phase 2, Santa Monica Master Cooperative Agreement.
We have been working for quite a while now, several months, on a master cooperative agreement with Santa Monica. As you're aware, we have one with the City of L.A. that covers Phase 1 and Phase 2. Have been working hard on getting one with the City of Santa Monica. The City of Santa Monica, we have reached an agreement with Santa Monica. Santa Monica took it to their council, and their council approved it. It's before you today for approval. Basically, it's tailored after the City of L.A. Master Cooperative Agreement. It sets up a process where we pay staff time for Santa Monica to review our design plans, and in turn, they have an expedited review process, so we don't have to go through their normal permit processing. So it really helps us in expediting the overall project. It also contains language on betterments and how those betterments would be dealt with, and very similar to the City of L.A., betterments would be considered if the city paid, number one, paid for those betterments, and number two, it didn't affect the overall schedule of the project. And so that very similar language that was in L.A. is incorporated in this as well. And so we're happy to answer any detailed questions, but we would recommend that that you approve this master cooperative agreement and then authorize me to execute it substantially the same and execute any follow-on amendments that may be required.
Okay. Okay, it's moved. I'll second it. I think this, or all of the things over in Santa Monica on the maintenance yard of my direction since it all started, and I appreciate the good work that the staff has done, the city has done, and the neighbors. They work constructively to get to a good place.
If I might also add that there
will
be...
Oh, am I on the wrong item?
Yeah.
Well, that's the next. That's the next. That's
yeah,
the next
we
bit.
Still have the maintenance facility.
But the master cooperative agreement is still a good thing.
Yeah, and quite frankly, we have been working with the city, following pretty much the City of LA's while we've worked on this. There's been a lot of issues that we've been able to resolve on the alignment, the terminus station. There will be some betterments that we're in discussions with Santa Monica about that they have not made a final decision at the council level, but we have been discussing things like a second platform at the Bergmont station, another entrance, Main Street station. So some of those things will be coming back, and they will be coming back in accordance with this master cooperative agreement.
Great. All right. Connor moves. I second without objection. Unanimous vote. That was 6E.
Item 7A, project status update.
Okay.
We'll turn that over to Ms. Brolson to give you an update of where we are. And then he will be followed by the Skanska Rados team to give you an update on their progress on their local jobs program.
Okay, starting with the first phase. This first will show some of the construction progress photos. This is the La Cienega Jefferson Station. Actually, at nighttime, you're able to see some of the nice differing light colors that are up on the station itself, as well as the artwork that's going to be on display at the station. This is the La Cienega parking structure, so that's actually nearing completion. We anticipate this month that it should be ready to go. This is the landscaping work over at Jefferson and National. And this is the Culver City Station. They're in the process here of pouring the plaza area. So as you go along the alignment, the work basically from Washington and Flower down to just west of Biona Creek is essentially complete. We've gone through and doing the punch listing. The contractor is now in the process of wrapping up his testing in anticipation of turning the system over to Metro. This is the OCS poles that are being installed on the Culver City aerial station. They've actually gone through and strung the wires, so the important piece is now we have the track and the power system in place to, well, I shouldn't say the power system in place, the overhead system in place to get trains into Culver City once we get the traction power substation set, which is anticipated sometime towards the end of this year. Schedule. Last schedule report we received from FFP was showing substantial completion August 25th. They have not made that date clearly. We still continue to assess liquidated damages since July 17th. Our latest independent evaluation of the schedule, we're looking at substantial completion sometime mid to late November of this year. We are working closely with Metro to complete the testing elements required to begin operator familiarization. We're actually anticipate being able to turn it over for Metro to begin putting their operators on the system hopefully sometime next week. So we're working hard with Metro to do that. We've actually formed a pre-revenue readiness committee that includes Metro, ourselves, and the contractor to continue to focus on those elements that we need to get Metro into full pre-revenue operations, which we're looking at probably late this month, early next month, to support having the system open by the budgeted raw date of December to January of this year, early next. We also continue, as we said, the other remaining construction elements, Farmdale Station. We're actually moving forward with that work. If you go out there now, the hotel there at the corner was actually demoed this week, so it's now down. We're now in the process of putting the canopies up on the two-station platform, so we're starting to see progress out there. A lot of good work, working closely with Dorsey, so all of that is so far going well. And then the Culver City work that I showed some of the photos earlier continues to go. So, again, we're looking at getting out to Culver City sometime early next year. Project budget. To this date, we've executed about $533.3 million in construction contract packages and change orders. We're still within the overall construction allowance and contingency, but as we report, there are still areas out there that pose a risk to the budget, unforeseen or differing site conditions, still outstanding change orders, additional third-party and professional services costs may or may not materialize. At this point in time, we are currently forecasting a $2.8 million shortfall in the budget. We continue to work this on a monthly basis, continue to work our cost containment efforts. We're beginning to kind of hone in on the finish line here with about $100,000 in value engineering, $2.8 million in reimbursements for additional project elements, and then about $800,000 in additional savings on deferment measures of elements of the project. So as you can see, we're very, very close as far as being able to close that funding gap. So we'll continue to work that on a daily basis. FFP local jobs, this month, last month actually, ending September 24th, FFP local hires 57.3%, subcontractors at 37.3% for a total local hires of 53.4%. Their overall cumulative to date, 30.2%, and they are still anticipating meeting the 30% goal at completion. EBE performance, design services are at 24.1% over the 20% requirement. Professional services, 34.9%, which is over the 20% requirement. And then construction services, just shortly below the 20% requirement, 19.1%. Our overall forecast at completion is 21%. Moving on to phase two, one exciting event we had last month was our phase two groundbreaking ceremony, well attended, very exciting event. Good to see. We're out still doing some of our preparatory work for construction. This is actually looking at the structural steel of the existing National Palms Bridge. This is actual work inside the Kenter Canyon storm drain, which is a 10-foot diameter L.A. County storm drain that runs down Colorado Boulevard. So we're doing samplings so we can assess the strength of this storm drain to see what, if any, protection we may have to put in place on this system. The alignment design build contract, Skanska Gerardus, we've actually received the 60% track work design submittal, so design continues to advance. We completed the City of Santa Monica funded preliminary engineering efforts for the Olympic and 26th and Colorado and 17th street stations, and the contractor's in the process of putting together pricing on the betterment items. I show we're beginning analysis of the Kenner Canyon storm drain, and we continue to do work along the alignment and preparatory work for construction. And we're working very closely with DWP and Southern California Edison coordinating overhead power line relocation. The maintenance design contract, I won't go into detail there. We'll have a presentation in just a few minutes. Venice Boulevard aerial structure, we've got that work kicked off with Balfour Beatty Infrastructure. We had a kickoff meeting this last month, so that's moving forward, and we're now in the process of finalizing the elements for the PRPSR and anticipate submitting that to Caltrans this month. We also hosted a number of community outreach events, community meetings on the maintenance facility, urban design committees, local stakeholders and businesses along the alignment, and we'll continue those efforts. Forward. That concludes my presentation. Any questions before I turn it over to
Director Parks? Yeah. I just want to find out, I think we met on this recently, is any status on Fauché and Western and Expo?
At Fauché, we're actually in the process now of beginning work, and it should start next week on the Fauché pedestrian tunnel. So we've been working closely with them, actually met this week with the parent group that runs the tunnel. Everybody's very excited about the improvements that we're going to be doing there. So that'll start next week and should wrap up by, we anticipate, the end of November.
What about the lot on the corner?
We're still trying to find out information on the owner and the ability to get on the lot to do the phase, what we call a phase two hazardous testing of the property.
I think my staff is making contacts with the LADOT to determine if they are willing to do the eminent domain, but I'd like to make sure we add that to our presentation so we can keep track of that.
The same item.
7C, right? 7C next.
No, this is the same item. Right?
Same item.
7C.
Yeah, this is just a phase two report on the local jobs program.
Right.
And
okay.
Then we'll go to 7C, which is the what the contractor's ability to move phase one workers on to
transition.
Phase two.
Okay.
So we'll take both of those at the same time, if you don't mind.
Great.
Good afternoon. My name is Andre Gaino. I'm the contracting officer for the joint venture for phase two. And referring to the slide here, last month we were at 27.7% local hourly utilization. This month, 2,700 total hours. Hours worked by local residents is 1,170. We're at 42.9% this month for a cumulative total of 34% thus far in the project for the joint venture. Left
contractors. Last month, we were at 9.8%. This month, 801 hours. We're at 8.7% with our subcontractors on the local hires. Cumulative to date for our subcontractors, 5,400 hours, 9.6% local hire. Totals on the job, last month we were at 17.9%. This month we're at 35.1% for a cumulative total of 23% for the project so far. Disadvantaged local hourly workers, last month we were at 8.6%. This month, 2,729 total hours. Hours worked by disadvantaged local residents, 475.5, for a total of 17.4 for this month. Cumulative to date, we're at 12.2% for disadvantaged local hire. Our subcontractors, last month we were at 0%. This month we're at 0%. And currently for the project, we're at 0%. Limited totals for the job, including subcontractors, we're at 3.9%. This month, we're at 13.5% for a cumulative total of 6.7%. Local small business goals. Attainment this month is 0.7%. Local SBE percentage is 8.5% with our goal of 7%, the 7% local hire goal. Local small business goal. The SBE percentages were at 0.7%, 8.7% commitment with a 20% goal on that. We were asked to provide some information on the transition from phase one to phase two for the workers. I'm going to ask John to.
John Harris with Harris Associates, a consultant to their Scantle Radios joint venture. The first of things what we have already developed and we're currently maintaining is a database of phase one workers. We've derived that information from community organizations, individuals, and direct call-ins. We're happy to say that we have already identified approximately 20 phase one workers that we hope to be transitioning into phase two. The next effort that we've engaged ourselves in is that we've reached out to the current contractor and subcontractors to obtain their list of eligible workers, and we have obtained workers that effort. We've begun and are continuing to establish a line of communications with the existing prime as of, and I think that has been successful. We've also been able to reach phase one workers through outreach events such as the job fair that was held a month ago. And in fact, about three or four phase one came up and signed and asked. So word of mouth has also been very successful in our efforts. So I think that the transition phase has so far been successful, and we just think that it's going to be an upward trend, and we're going to try to reach as many of those workers as we can.
I just asked on that one page that you commented on 000.
Right.
Subcontractors, is there an issue there or there's hours?
Well, the hours are tracked based on certified payroll. And frankly, subcontractors are notorious for not submitting certified payrolls on time. So we do have some information that probably would have been some benefit today, but the bottom line is we weren't able to verify that information. I feel comfortable providing that information.
I mean, on phase one, this was something that was of serious nature where the subcontractors chose not to participate and the prime contractor came in third to halfway through the project saying they didn't take it serious. The one thing I think that's important, this is the $1.something billion contract and they get paid on time.
As well as meeting with them individually to reinforce the program, assist them in reaching those goals. All of the things that John described in terms of what we're doing for transitioning phase one workers and phase two workers,
we're making all of those things available to our subcontractors also.
My concern is, I think what happened last time, it was that we had a rush to the end trying to make up what we didn't do the first half. And so,
Councilman, I might add that we have actually started bringing in the non-compliant subs and really reinforced that. In fact, in a couple instances, we withheld payment to get their attention, and we did get their attention because it's sort of unbelievable. Some of them are still saying they don't understand what a disadvantaged local worker is. So we have started the educational process, and we've begun to hit it where it hurts by simply saying, if you don't get it right this time, guess what? You're not going to get paid. So that message has gone out, and I think that it's beginning to resonate among our sub-community.
All right. Any other questions? Yeah, one additional statistic that might be useful to us is the total number of hours forecasted on the job. You've done 12,000 hours so far. That's what percentage complete? How many millions or hundreds of thousands of hours somewhere? We'd like to track on this report from month to month the percent complete on the job in addition to the compliance.
Okay. We're still working under a limited notice to proceed. We'd be happy to provide that information.
It doesn't have to be, are we at half a percent or 1% or where are we in the total project allotment? Thank you.
Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay up 7B.
Yes, 7B, we felt we would like to present just an update on the maintenance facility. It's been very controversial in Santa Monica. I think we're doing a great job. Tim Lindholm is actually with Metro. He's assisting us with this maintenance facility. He's done a lot of the maintenance facilities for Metro. He's doing a great job for us, and I thought we'd bring him in and let him bring you up to date.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Thank you for having me here today. I'm Tim Lindholm, and I am the project manager for the Santa Monica Maintenance Yard. Just want to give you a background on what we've been doing to date and what we're going to be doing over the next 3 to 6 months. First is that we had a highly competitive process and selected Maintenance Design Group as our design consultant for the project. We awarded a contract to them in June, gave notice to proceed in June. And the very first thing I did in June is I took them to every single light rail and heavy rail maintenance facility at Metro. We started at 3 in the morning and went to 11 at night, watching roll in, roll out, how the place operates. And we did this, pictures of it, we did this so they could identify lessons learned, what the needs are of Metro to gather data, to learn what works and what doesn't. Right after that, we went into a space needs programming process where we worked on the number of vehicles, what kind of staff needed to be there, what spaces we needed, how big they needed to be, so that we could go ahead and start the design process. We were just gathering data. We did this by questionnaires, meetings, working sessions, and meeting with all the managers of the facilities at Metro. And then we had our first community meeting, and we had not done any design work at all before we went to this community meeting, and we did that for a reason. We really wanted to go in there with an open mind, learn what issues the community was concerned about. So we just went in there with the existing site plan that was in the FEIR, and we wanted to hear what their concerns were, and they could really be summed up in these four bullets. They were concerned with sound. They were concerned with traffic. They didn't want vehicular access off of Exposition Boulevard. They preferred it to be on Stewart. They were concerned with views, and they were concerned with the buffer. So we gathered a lot of data at that meeting and then went into design workshops. And this was a one-week process where the City of Santa Monica was involved, Expo staff, Metro staff. The entire week process. The first day was to identify our sustainability goals for the project. We focused an entire day on the green nature of the building and sustainability. And then the way it worked is day two, the team worked, the design team worked for about 4 hours, and then we came in as a stakeholder group and critiqued them. They took notes, came back the next day, showed us some more drawings, we critiqued them again. So at the end of the week, day five of the week, we had two site scenarios that worked for both Expo and Metro, and we decided to carry those forward. Then we went into what we call mathematical design, which is we got a little more technical. We started to look at track work, geometry. We did a lot of detailed sound monitoring to confirm our suspicions about how we orient buildings and how those perform in terms of sound. Reviewed stuff with the City of Santa Monica Fire Department, codes, clearances. And most importantly, we did a check on the budget, and we did some cost estimating to make sure that that both scenarios we had developed in concept will conform with the site budget, and they do. So then we went out to the second community meeting, which was on September 6th, and at this we proposed these two concepts, Scenario 1 and Scenario 2. We went over the pluses and minuses of each concept with the community, showed how they perform in terms of sound and traffic and the buffer. The main difference between these site plans and the one that's in the IR is that we tried to use the building as an additional sound buffer, which was highly recommended by our sound consultants. So you can see the one on the top is Scenario 1. What we did is we left the building on the west side, like in the FEIR, but we could not have a service and inspection building that didn't have pull-through capabilities. So we oriented that second building on the east side and also used that to buffer sound. And the buffer is in the exact same configuration as it was in the FEIR. Scenario 2 is an improvement on that concept, where you can see the buffer is completely linear and unbroken from block to block. We have a bigger building now that does a better job of screening the yard and a better job of sound performance. So at the end of this meeting, we took a vote, and 80% of the community voted for Scenario 2, which was great because that also happened to be the concept that Expo staff and Metro staff were happiest with. So there is the final concept that we're working on right now. We're taking this concept from 0 to 30% as we speak. I'm going to give you the timeline for the rest of the project. So from now until January of 2012, we're doing 30% design work. Final design will take place between February of 2012 and September of 2012. We'll do bid and award of a contract in September to December of 2012, and then we're going to construct it from January 2013 to October 2014 and open it in time. And with that, that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions? Not. Thank you for the report.
You're welcome.
Congratulations on getting it done. Next item. Oh, Pam, sorry, Director O'Connor.
Item 8, CEO comments.
I have nothing further to report.
Okay.
Board member comments.
All other comments. We have closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Item 10A is a closed session conference with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation under Government Code 54956.9 B and C. Item B is a conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation under 54956.9A for the matter listed in the agenda. And item C is a personnel matter, a public employee performance evaluation under 54957. We do not anticipate reportable action.
Okay, we'll have for everything but the performance evaluation, we'll have one staff member per board member. The performance evaluation will just be the board members themselves.